The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Father, it is my prayer this morning that we would see you, that your presence would be tangible among us within this place. You tell us that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that your promise to us is that you dwell among us. And I am thankful for the people of God who have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, that when we come together and the Word of God is central, you are present. And so we pray that Jesus would be lifted up, because you tell us that if we can see Jesus, that Jesus himself is the exact representation of the Father. So may we behold the glory and the beauty and the worth and the significance of the Son of God today, and we need the Spirit of God to illuminate all of this. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and we'll ask all of these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you. My name is Terry Carlton, and I have the great privilege of being campus pastor in Easley, also one of the elders on the team, and I'm excited to be able to open up God's Word with you this morning, and I'm thankful. This gather time is actually one of the bright spots of my week. I enjoy this. I enjoy being, the last 2 weeks I've been here, and I've sat right here on the front row. I have equally enjoyed just being here with you, to worship with you, where we can gather together as God's people and hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. So I want to thank you. Thank you for being here today. It's not lost on me. It's not lost on our leadership. It's not lost on our team that you would make these gathered times a priority. And I'm not talking about just showing up. I'm talking about people that pray for these gathered times. People who come and even not just in preparation for the Sunday gathering, but people that are scattered in and among this body, in this room, that are praying specifically for those who stand up here and teach, but also for the hearers, for you, that are praying that God would open up our minds and our hearts and our ears to hear what God would have us to see and to know and to hear. So I'm thankful. If you have a Bible, grab that. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Whether you have this version of the Bible or the version that is on your phone, Philippians 2 is where we're going to be this morning. I think one of the things that you could say about me, now there's several things that you could say about me, but the Word also tells us to take every thought captive. So if any negative thoughts arose in that moment, take that thought captive. But one of the things I think you could say about me is I'm pretty structured. I'm a pretty structured individual. I need structure in my life. So I like to plan things. Now, if you really know me, sometimes this annoys you about me, because I like detail and I like a plan. And I like to follow that plan and I like to stick to that plan. And when things don't go according to plan, that's when things get a little shaky. And you and I both know that life, most of the time, doesn't go according to what? Plan. Like that. So whether it's my schedule, whether it's my routine, whether it's all the way down to my day, right? I like a good plan. I like a good goal and a plan to accomplish that goal. You can ask my wife about this. When we go out on a date, which seems to be rare these days with three kiddos, but when we go out on a date, one of the things that I love to do from time to time, well, what she would tell you, first of all, is I typically know where we're going. And for the most part, she's like, yeah, that's cool with me. Let's go there. But from time to time, one of the things I like to do is I like to say, hey, babe, we're going out Thursday night. Where do you want to go? You name the restaurant, you name the place, because that's where I want to go, okay? And 99.9% of the time, here's what she says, I don't care, whatever you want. Do any of you guys have this problem as men with your bride? Right? She says, I don't know, whatever you want, I don't really care. And I'm like, no, really, tell me what you want, because what would bring me joy is to do what you want to do. And then she'll always look back and say, well, I don't know, really, what it's whatever you want. And I'm like, well, don't you have a plan? And in my mind, I'm like, no, I don't have a plan. Or at least that's what I'm telling her. But we all know the case. I already have a plan. I know where I want to go, and I know where I want to take her. I love structure. That's my point. And there's several reasons why I thrive with structure, but there's two primary reasons why it's so important for me. Here's the first one. Without structure, I lack focus. I can be about 101 things, and they're good things. But if I have structure in my life, it allows me to actually zero in on what is most important. So I need structure for the primary purpose of letting me know, hey, this is where I'm going. This is what is important. This is who deserves the bulk of my time and energy. Structure gives me all of that. Here's the second reason I need it. Without structure, I easily forget. Forgetful. I don't know about you. How many of you are forgetful people? Yeah, we struggle with that. So I utilize a few resources to help me. I have an iPhone, and on the iPhone I have iCal, right? So the iCalendar, and my wife and I share several calendars. So we have number one calendar is Red Ink. Red Ink, and some of you know what Red Ink is for us, because we talked about it with you. But Red Ink is our time as husband and wife. It's the time that we plan proactively into our calendar that no one else gets that space. And unless something is dire important, it's a dire necessity, it doesn't get moved, it doesn't get changed. So Red Ink. Number two is another, it's a family calendar. So Tristan and I both have access to put things into this calendar and to erase things from this calendar. Number three is my summit calendar. It's all of my responsibilities. It's all of my meetings. It's all of my agendas, all the things, my responsibilities that I have to accomplish. And fourth, and pretty important, is the Clemson Tiger football calendar, just to remind me when the Tigers are playing and where they're playing and what time. That's one resource. I also use an app called Trello. I don't know if you've heard of this. But because I'm driven and I need a plan and I need structure, I need to put my task in a place. And I need help with that. So Trello is a great app. It has everything down to the day and the detail that I can keep up with on my phone. And I also have a journal because I'm still old school and I like to write down my thoughts. And I like to write my dreams and my passions and my visions for the future. All of these help me stay focused. They help me keep focus on what is most important, because structure allows me to know how to weave through all the things that are vying for my attention. And I got a lot of things coming at me. So if I have structure, it can help me to place my energy on that which is important. And these tangible means allow me to stay focused and not easily forget. Now, what is the point of all of this that I'm telling you? Philippians 2, verse 1. Paul says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Let's stop there for a moment. Paul says, before we move on to further see how the gospel shapes us, let me pause to say this. Remember what you have in Christ. Remember how you have been served by your servant King, who gave himself to die the death you deserve to die. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his grace. Remember his kindness and patience towards you. Remember his love. So if there's any comfort from his love. So Paul's saying, hey, remember that his love is enduring. It never falters. It never slumbers. It never fails. His love is steadfast and faithful. Paul says, hey, is there any encouragement in Jesus Christ? Do you find any source of comfort from his love? Can you, believer, can you, child of God, look at your life and see the work of the Spirit changing you, pointing you to Jesus, encouraging you with who you are in Christ. Another way we could say it is Paul reminding us, hey, don't you see what you possess in Jesus? Don't you see that this is what the foundation of your life is to be built upon? Another way to look at verse 1 would be, hey, this is what brings structure and focus to your life. And this is what you and I cannot afford to forget. Because if you and I forget the implications of verse 1, you and I will die the death of 1,000 other pursuits that seem worthy of our attention and affection, but you'll die the death, I'll die the death of regret, of emptiness, and ultimately unfulfillment. You know, one of the difficult things about pastoral ministry is watching people essentially turn their back on God. That's one of the unfortunate viewpoints that I get to see. Turn their back on God or just walk away from Him. And I'm talking about folks who profess faith in Christ. And over time, the cares of life, the difficulties of a broken, fallen world, the circumstances that they did not anticipate, it ultimately chokes the life out of them. And what happens is their faith wavers and it reaches a point where they become apathetic and numb towards God and the things of God. And I can stand up here and tell you that I've seen that countless times, and 99.9% of the time it can be traced back to two things. Number one, they never had any real focus of what their life was built upon. Now, they were inspired to a degree of who Jesus was and what Jesus accomplished, but their life ultimately wasn't surrendered to Him. Therefore, their life wasn't built upon Him. And number two, they forgot what was most essential. Overtaken by the cares and circumstances of life, they forgot what is ultimate. What is ultimate is who God is and what God has accomplished in and through the person of Christ, therefore who we are in Him. Paul says, hey, if you and I want to live a life that's shaped by the gospel, that's worthy of the gospel, then you have to start here. What is your foundation? What is your life built upon? What keeps you grounded? And then how well do you remember? Do you wake up thinking about your life that is built upon the solid foundation of Christ and Christ alone? Or are you more prone to wake up prone to complaining when you begin your day? I don't like where I'm at. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like the people. You know, maybe I need new friends. Maybe I need a new job. Maybe I need a change of scenery. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what I'm walking through. I don't like this job. I'm not satisfied with my life. So life itself just consumes you. Finds a way to consume your mind, your heart. It finds a way to consume your days. And very little thought or effort is put towards remembering what Paul says in verse 1. Paul says a life that is shaped by the gospel starts with remembering the gospel. Why is that important, Terry? What you remember, you value. And what you value becomes the thing that your life is shaped by. And then what your life is shaped by will tell you, reveal to you what your life is built upon. I remember to value. I value in order to be shaped. And what I'm shaped by becomes the very foundation and the structure that all of life is built upon. And if Paul tells us that this life shaped by the gospel hinges on remembering the encouragement, the comfort from His love, the knowledge of the work of the Spirit within us, His affection and sympathy, then let me pose it this way. How would Paul stand before us today? How would Paul sum up what it actually means to remember? This is what I think Paul would say. For to me to live is Christ. and to die is gain. That's what I think Paul would say. Can you say this morning, like Paul, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Or if you would be honest with yourself, maybe you would say, I'm living for something else. I'm living for a myriad of things, and for me to die is to lose everything that I'm currently living for instead of dying to all these things so that I might have Jesus instead. You should have received one of these cards on your way in this morning. If you did not, would you raise your hand for me? We have some ushers. Yeah, just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up and they'll get this card to you. It's on the back of this card, it says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you flip it around, you're going to see two blanks. For to me to live is blank and to die is blank. I want to pause right here before we move on. And I want to encourage us to do some reflection. Our team's going to continue to play and sing, lead us in a couple songs. But can I challenge you in this moment to think about what is the thing, or perhaps it's a plurality of things, that is currently competing for your attention and affection? What I'm essentially asking you this morning is to be honest with yourself about the thing that your life is built upon, your structure. The foundation. Perhaps some of you would look at this card and say, for to me to live is to be noticed. And to die is to be forgotten. For others of us in the room, it might be for to me to live is it's money. And to die is to be willing to leave it all behind. For some of us in the room, it might be for to me to live as a job or a career. And to die is His kingdom come, His will be done. Maybe you would say for me to live is power and control. But to die is to be willing to lose it all. Right where you are, you're going to stay seated. They're going to sing over us. Would you be willing to think about what that means for you? Meditate for a moment on Paul's summation of what it means to remember and ask yourself, be honest with yourself. What is your life currently built upon? Verse 1. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Paul says, look at how you've been served. We have been served so freely in Christ, so graciously, so undeserving, yet so patiently and so faithfully. Now, because you have been served, you are free to serve. I want to focus in on that word free. You are free to serve. How do I know? Verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing. What does that mean in the original? Nothing. From selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. I want you to be of one mind, the same mind, Paul says. I want you to have the same love that Christ has for others. Well, how? How is that possible? He says, love like you have been loved. Serve like you have been served. So Paul turns the page to chapter 2, and what he's going to show us is this powerful, ongoing work of the gospel not only shapes our lives, but it also forms us into this grace-filled community. And this grace-filled community that when you look at it, here's what it looks like. It looks like Jesus in our humility and our love for one another. And he's going to elevate Jesus, and he's going to do it for two reasons. One, he's going to set up Jesus as the ultimate example, but not just the example, also the primary motivation for how we live and why we do what we do. Maybe I could say it this way. If you want to know why you do what you do, then look at how you serve. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. What compels you to serve others? What keeps you and I from throwing in the towel when we serve others? Your motive and my motive will always be revealed in the outcome of our serving. Always. Our motives are always revealed in the outcome of our serving. So, moment of confession. Raise your hand if you've ever felt unappreciated. We got some people lying in the room. Right? You serve, but you don't feel noticed. You feel unappreciated. Right, I'm serving, I'm investing, I'm working, I'm giving up for the benefit of someone else, and no one notices me. No one cares. And maybe that's within the church. Maybe that's your serving in Summit Kids or S2M. Maybe that's in your life group. You give and you give and you give and you serve and you invest into other people and you make space and you think no one appreciates what you do and how you do it and why you do it. Perhaps you feel that way in your marriage. You serve your spouse. You give up for your spouse and you feel unnoticed. What about your kids? I just wish my kids would understand just a small degree how much is given up for their benefit. Where's your job? I mean, there's a myriad of things, right? And in those moments, here's my question to you. What's your motive? Because that's the thing that's being revealed. Now hear me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't want to be encouraged. Because encouragement is good and it's necessary. But here's what I am saying. Our motives will always come to light. And they'll come to light in the reality of our heart and mind by the fruit of our serving. Always. Always, always, always. And oftentimes, here's what's revealed. Instead of serving for the benefit and joy of others, what is often being revealed is self-ambition. I want to be noticed. I want recognition. I want respect. I want praise. I want gratification. And we couch this in the name of Jesus. We're good at that. I'm good at that. It's I want. What does Paul say? Do nothing from rivalry or selfish ambition or conceit. Now, here's one of the reasons why I think Paul elevates Jesus as not only the model, but also the motivation for our love and service to others. Here's one of the reasons. To remind us that when we love like Jesus loves and when we serve like Jesus serves, there is one who notices. He does. There is one who is paying attention. He is. Even if the person that is receiving our service doesn't notice and doesn't pay attention, God sees. God pays attention. God cares. He's pleased. He's magnified. He's lifted up. He is glorified. So parents, the work you are doing Moms, the work you are doing when it doesn't seem like anyone cares or pays attention, your Father in heaven sees and pays attention. Keep going. Life group leaders, influencers within the body, when it seems like no one really cares about your investment, and no one's responding to your leadership, and you don't get the verbal affirmation that you long for, your Father sees, and He's glorified. So keep going. What about employees? When it appears that your efforts continue to go unnoticed and unappreciated and undervalued, let me encourage you to ask a very tough question. What's my motive? Am I doing this job only for the dollar amount that I will receive? Is it only about my name being recognized? Because your Father in heaven is aware of the provision that He's given you through that job and the people that don't know Him in that circle. Keep serving. Keep doing what you are doing as unto the Lord and not for man and not for gain. Your Father in heaven is aware. Keep going. Keep serving. Listen, you and I are free to serve to the degree that we are currently resting in the sufficiency of Jesus. And you want to know what precedes resting? Remembering. Well, how do I know if I'm resting in the sufficiency of Jesus? How do I know if I'm actually remembering the profound nature of the gospel? This is how you know. Look at how you serve. Look, observe, pay attention to how you serve. If you refuse to serve because of how others have responded to you or how they did not respond to you, then here's what that reveals. You're not free. Because that's not the heart of our servant King. My ability to serve you without selfish ambition or conceit has nothing to do with you. Nothing. It has nothing to do with your response to how I serve you or what I can benefit from you. I'm free. If I'm free in Christ and I'm settled in who I am in Christ and I'm resting in His love, then I am free to serve you and love you despite you. Despite how you praise me or ignore me. Despite what you can do for me or what you cannot do for me. That'll be to the degree that you know whether or not you are actually free in Christ. So let me pose it this way. Are you free to serve? Are you free to serve for the benefit of another, regardless of how they respond to you? I'll say it this way. To the degree that we are being shaped by the gospel will be the degree to which we are free to serve others. Jesus rejected, not merely rejected by outsiders, although He was. The Bible tells us that He was rejected by His very own. And you and I this morning fit into that category. No, we were not there. We were not physically there when He was being mocked and ridiculed and rejected. But our sin, your sin, my sin, placed on Him. Therefore, we participated with them and all who have ever lived and who will ever live. He was rejected, but He did not quit. He didn't stop loving. He didn't stop serving. He still went to the cross. And each step of obedience that He took, it brought Him more and more pain, more and more rejection. Yet He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And here's what you and I are tempted to do. Yeah, but I deserve the recognition. I deserve praise for my hard work. I deserve for somebody to notice and pat me on the back. I deserve more. Well, here's what the gospel says. You and I deserve death and hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the structure. It's the foundation by which our life is to be built upon. That every day of our life, we should wake up and be thankful to be alive. Thankful to be loved unconditionally by a gracious God. That today, right now, this very moment, you have new morning mercies that are tailor-made just for you for this very day. I'm alive and God sees me, He knows me, He's rescued me, He sings over me, He's in control of all things, His promises are true, His love is steadfast. Thank you, God, that this is what's true. And therefore, because it's true, it's my motivation. It's what I'm resting in. It's what I'm remembering. And if that's true, and that's what I'm resting in, and that's what I'm remembering, I'm free to serve you. I can serve you the way He has and is currently serving me, regardless if I get any recognition or praise from you. Regardless. Because I already have all the recognition I need in Him. This is so great. At the cross, our sin was credited to Jesus, and in exchange, we received the righteousness of Christ. And what did you and I do to get that? Nothing. Nothing. And if you and I believe this, if we remember this or resting in this, we can live our lives with a firm belief, what more do I need? I don't need to get the glory because I am in union with the one who is before the Father on my behalf and who is currently declaring, He stands with me. My credit is applied to Him. My glory covers Him. What more could I get from any of you that is even close to what I possess in Him? I don't need you to notice me if He knows me. I don't need you to puff up my drive for self-ambition if I'm seated with Christ. Why? Because I can't get any higher than that. I can't do any better. I can't be more accepted. I can't be any more significant. I'm a beloved child of the King. I have the credit of His perfect righteousness. I have an advocate who prays to the Father on my behalf. Moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment of every single day. So I'm free to serve you. Free to serve others. Because my serving is done unto Him, not unto you. I want to close with a question for you to consider and then a challenge with this card. Here's the question, and we're going to put it up on the screen for you. Am I free to serve regardless of the outcome of my serving? Danny, would just maybe leave that up there for a moment. Am I free to serve regardless of the outcome of my serving? Would you be honest with yourself this morning in regards to this question? Would you be honest with yourself in regards to the card that we placed in your hands? For to me to live is blank and to die is blank. I think there's a lot of pretense that goes on in the church. What I mean by that is somehow we're conditioned to come into this place and fake it. Got something to, like there's a certain way it's supposed to think and act and feel. And those are all lies. The church, the body of Christ, should be the safest place to be 100% honest with where you are. And yet I find that you and I do struggle deeply with being truly honest with ourselves. I wonder if you would be open and honest enough with the people who know you best. Maybe that's in life group, maybe that's not. Maybe that's a spouse, maybe that's a close friend. That you would be open and honest enough, maybe just to share with them, hey, this is what I wrote down on my card. Would you pray with me in this journey as I seek to live my life built upon this structure and this foundation? Who knows you? Like, who genuinely knows you? Because here's the truth. The people who know you, you could hand them this card and ask them to fill this out about you. But some of us are more interested in living our lives based off of perception. Our own self-deceived perception, rather than coming into the light of being exposed in order to be truly loved all the way down to the depths of who we are. So I could hand this card to my wife and she could fill this out for me. Did you know that? You could probably hand this card to your husband, your wife. They could fill it out on your behalf. You have older children? My 11-year-old son's back there. I could put this card into Patrick's hands and I could say, hey, would you fill this card out on behalf of Dad? Why? Because that kid knows me. And some, like, that's terrifying for some of us, because you know what? We'd be confronted with some hard truth. But to the degree that you want to know what is true will be to the degree that you're actually living and willing to live in freedom. The freedom of the gospel. Am I free to serve? Regardless of the outcome of my serving. And maybe, just maybe, this week there would be a willingness among us to move towards someone who does know us and begin a conversation. What is my life built upon? And please, dear God, please don't let me forget. We need each other so that we might not forget. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing one more song as a way to remember. Let's do that together.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.